Well, you're listening to the KPCW Local News Hour. Our first guest this morning, Utah State Park naturalist Kathy Donnell. Thank you for coming in, Kathy.
Thank you.
Great. The leaves are changing color. We've got snow in the forecast. What's happening in our park world?
Well, you know, the parks are still open and they are busy. Amazingly, the campgrounds have been really busy on the weekends, and this weekend is no different. So all the area parks like Deer Creek, Wasatch, Jordanelle, Rockport, and East Canyon, they're open, but we're going off reservations about October 15th. So you can make reservations up for a campsite up until then, but then after that it goes to first come, first serve. And then also when you're entering the parks, if the gates are unattended, people need to still pay their day passes or have their annual pass available. And you can get those annual passes at any state park or at stateparks.utah.gov. So just make sure you pay your fees or have your annual pass. So Deer Creek's open. The lakes are getting a little bit low. Wasatch is open. The campgrounds have been full. Again, the Pine Creek Canyon and Snake Creek Canyons are still open and still beautiful after this wind, though. I'm wondering if most of the leaves have come off, but it has been absolutely gorgeous going over the top. Golf courses remain open and aren't as busy as they have been, and if the weather holds, they'll be open through Thanksgiving weekend. At Jordanelle State Park, the RV campgrounds are still open and very full on weekends. Day use is now $10 per car 7 days a week. The water level is dropping quickly. The ramps at Hailstone are in the water. The Aqua Zone is closed. The ramp at Rockcliff is out of the water, and launching of any size boat is not recommended at Rockcliff. Construction of a non-motorized boat ramp and trail access at Ross Creek is just about completed. Stay tuned to see as to when it will be accessible. The kokanee are still spawning at Rockcliff. They are now 2.5 years old. McHenry Tent Camping is closed, but folks can still camp in the RV campgrounds. Tent campers can camp in the RV campgrounds. Campgrounds are on reservations until October 31st at Jordanelle. And the cabanas and group pavilions are off reservations. At Rockport State Park, the lake level is low and the fishing is limited to shoreline, but fish have been biting on worms. Reservations end October 15th. Upcoming event this weekend is an introduction to archery on the 3D archery range at Rockport with the Hogle Zoo. East Canyon is open. All ramps, campgrounds, and trails are open. Camping is first come, first serve. Cabins and yurts can still be reserved. Fishing has been great from shore and boats at East Canyon. And the upcoming event is the Tagged Fish Contest on October 13th. And on October 20th, they have a scary fun run. So if you want to find more information about state parks, just go to the website at stateparks.utah.gov.
Wow. Travis English and Jocelyn Scudder from the Summit County, Arts Advisory Board, I guess. We're here to talk about that, although, Travis, you might give us an update on how the fair went this year. They're here to talk about the project at the Summit County Services Building in Camas. Welcome, Travis and Jocelyn.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. So the project, it's interesting. It's called Yambo. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are, okay. Yes. And so we just went through a fairly lengthy RFP process for this project for the South Summit Services and Building in Camas. And we had 23 proposals, and we selected an artist. His name is Day Christensen, and he is from Highland, Utah. And he proposed a really beautiful sculpture that will be hanging in the foyer of this new South Summit Services building that was just constructed this past spring and opened in early spring.
Mm-hmm. So, April this year.
It's a really, really exciting project for us. It's actually part of our 1% allocation. So for that building, so it's a very big project for us, and we're thrilled to have Day Christensen as our artist. He's done multiple public art projects throughout the state for both Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City. So he's really wonderful.
Well, great. Remind us, what is the 1% allocation?
So we receive a 1% of any capital project for public art on a very simple level. So the building, the construction cost around $6 million. $2 million for the South Summit Services building. And so the county did enter into a 1% allocation for public art, which is a really exciting development for our board and will allow for really beautiful public art projects in any, you know, new county buildings.
And this is the first project that we've ever done with the 1% from the Summit County allocation.
I was going to ask that. Has Camas had any public art installations?
They do, but not necessarily in Summit County buildings. So we're really excited, you know, to have a new building there, and it's beautiful. I'm not sure if you've been out there. The building itself is so great, and we're excited to have, you know, new artwork there.
Yeah, so I've seen some renderings.
Yes.
And very interesting materials. Give us an idea, you know, of the visual, and we'll post some of those photographs also when
wonderful.
Put together the story. But yeah, give us an idea of what that's going to look like.
Yes. So in Dave's proposal, he is proposing for a suspended metal sculpture, and it's going to be of hundreds of colorful leaves and grasses, and they'll be floating and shimmering throughout the high space of the main lobby. And there will be a lot of different flora and fauna represented, oak and maple, aspen, spruce leaves, and those will represent the natural beauty of the Camas Valley, while grasses and alfalfa will reflect the agricultural landscape. So that was something that we really enjoyed about his proposal, is that he did his research and he really learned about the Camas Valley and, you know, not only about the natural landscape, but the agricultural history. So it's going to be very intricate, and I think it's going to be really stunning. You know, when anyone enters the building, it'll be right above their head. And so I think it's going to be very engaging and beautiful.
Yeah, so we had 23 responses, it sounds like.
We did.
That's interesting. And what, as far as the final project and how you came to this, was it a situation of looking at the costs and the product and the history of what this artist did, or how did you come about that?
Well, the RFP process is a public process. We released the RFP back in March, I think. I'm trying to think off
March
the top
of
my
year.
Head. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we gave about an 8 to 10 week period for artists to apply. And so we did a national call for artists. And we did get a great response. The higher, you know, cost of the project. So you know, we've done $10,000 projects. We'll get a good response. But I think because it had a higher dollar amount, we got some really great response, not only from local public artists, but from national public artists. So we felt incredibly privileged as a board to really go through some advanced proposals. So we, as a board, met multiple times to kind of narrow down the search. And then we actually, just in mid-September, we did a semi-finalist review, and some of the artists came to the South Summit Services and presented their final proposals. And so it was not taken lightly, and it was a really fun process, actually. I love reading the proposals. I think it's really interesting. And in the end, the board ended up selecting Day Christensen's work, mostly because he really nailed the goals of the project and did his research on Camas, which this is for the community. So that's an important aspect.
Speaking of community, I think it's important to mention that we involved the community within the process and invited them to all of the meetings to come take a look, let us know their feedback, because they'll be... the Camas Valley residents will be who are enjoying this project. So we really wanted to hear from them. And this, the coppers and the brass and the bronze and just the colors really reminded, I think, the community of the Camas Valley. So I think that's important to note as well.
Yeah.
What timing do we have on this? When will it be started and finished and...
Well, we're in contract phase right now. So we're working with the county to develop our contract to get our artist all set up. And we're hoping to actually start, he won't be in the building probably next month, but our goal is to have this implemented by Christmas, by the, you know, before the end of the year. That might be aggressive. We'll see how that pans out. You know, contracts can take a long time. So we're being flexible with Day and kind of, you know, just keeping him in the loop. But as soon as we have a contract, he's going to start work.
Yeah, and he's also working with...
Go ahead.
I'm working with the foundry in Utah, and I think some of it gauges on their schedule as well to fabricate the metal itself.
Oh, sure. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Great.
So, Travis, tell us, at this point, are there any numbers on fair attendance that you want to share?
You know, our fair attendance, I don't have them with me because I'm kind of, you know, talking about art instead of, I wear many hats at the county, I guess. But yeah, it was great. We had a phenomenal turnout. Jocelyn was out there with the fine arts exhibit. We had our new Legis Event Center opened days before the fair started. So that really worked out very well to have the home arts and fine arts, you know, out of tents and in actual climate-controlled buildings. If you haven't seen the building, it's
beautiful.
It really is quite, it was very well done. So they were literally painting and we were moving in tables and Diamond Rental was dropping things off and laying sod. And we were very excited that everything was wrapped up.
You got
up
it
and
done. Yeah.
And the livestock sale itself that we have, the junior livestock sale, it was the largest sale we've ever had in Summit County history. Second highest grossing sale in the state. So we were really excited about that for local youth. And that was in four new barns that we built on the fairgrounds as well. So it was a rush to get there, but it was great once we got to the fair itself.
So is this the, do you have another phase to go through as far as your facilities
yep.
work?
Yep. So we worked with Landmark Design out of Salt Lake City to come up with a master plan for the space. And that was phase one. So we will continue into the next phases of the fairground. This year kind of we're looking into irrigation, electric needs, some water needs, just more of the fundamentals for the fair itself and the event logistics, I guess. And then we'll move into the other phases of the fairgrounds.
Okay. And there was a transit link that was being offered this year from Kimball out to the fairgrounds. How did that work?
Kimball Junction Transit Center. You know, every year we have more and more riders, so we're really excited about it. It's nice that people can park their car in Kimball Junction, or they can hop on a bus right here at the transit center on Sweet Alley and make it out to the fair for free. So it really works out well for people.
Yeah. So will the fairgrounds be used for other things at other times of the year?
Yep. So the Legis Event Center that we just built, we're actually waiting for the furniture to be delivered right now. But it absolutely, that's the plan. It's a beautiful building. And we'll be using it for county needs, from, you know, large county council meetings to our management meetings, those sorts of things. But it also will be available to rent to residents and non-residents alike, I guess, for weddings, family reunions, any corporate events. It's really a beautiful space, so I think people are really going to enjoy it. It's a true asset to Summit County and the Colville North Summit community as well.
Yeah, so any particular memories or episodes that happened that you want to share?
At the fair itself?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. There are so many. Not any that I can think of right off the top of my head, but it's always just so much fun. And it's great to have the volunteers and families that come out to the fair every year. A lot of them I only see, you know, during that month of August. So it's just great to catch up with everyone and see your neighbors and people from all over the county and visitors to the county alike at the fair itself. So it's always a fun time.
Great. Well, thank you for coming in and sharing the activities and events that are going on.
Well, thanks
in that
for having
part of
us.
The county. That's Jocelyn Scudder. She's the Summit County Arts Council Director, and Travis English with Summit County Fair.
Thank you.
Director.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Good morning. We're back with the KPCW Local News Hour. My next guest is Amy Roberts. She is the Senior Director of Marketing and Communications with the Kimball Arts Center. Welcome, Amy.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you.
You're here to talk a little bit about the Art-Oberfest.
Art-Oberfest, yes.
My pronunciation.
Art.
Art-Oberfest.
Yes, we have an event coming up at the Kimball Arts Center on October 13th. It's in the afternoon from 1 to 5. Family-friendly, celebrating art, celebrating autumn. There's lots of different fun art activities, art-making activities. We've got a printmaking press where you'll be able to make your own unique print leaf and take it home. You can pick out a pumpkin in the pumpkin patch and paint it there. We have some ceramics demonstrations. We have tours of our current exhibition, which features 24 local Utah artists. All sorts of great stuff. There'll be a beer and wine garden. We've got live music. We come out and check it out. And you can also decorate your own trick-or-treat bag. We supply the bags and the materials. That's just $2, as well as the pumpkins are $2. Everything else is free of charge. And we'd love for people to come out, bring their families. It'll be a fun time.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going to be doing some ceramics demonstrations. What does that entail?
Yeah, so it will be dependent on the weather, whether or not it's inside or outside. We do have a ceramic studio behind the Kimball Art Center, and we will hopefully be able to bring some of the wheels outside and have some of our instructors and our ceramics manager, as well as some of our members who come and use the ceramic studio. They'll be able to do demonstrations, show people this is, you know, how we make a pot, how we make a cup, whatever it is that they're making. It might be inside, though. Of course, it does depend on the weather. So, but we've got lots of fun, different interactive things going on. So we tell everyone, come on out.
Yeah. So talk about what the kids events are. You said that there are some trick or treat bag making, painting pumpkins and that type of thing.
Yeah. So we're going to have a pumpkin patch and kids can go in there, pick out their own pumpkin. It's only $2 and paint the pumpkin's face, as well as the trick or treat bags, which we supply. We want to thank Zions Bank. They're our sponsor. So they've actually helped us with a lot of this. And kids will be able to bling out their trick-or-treat bag, maybe decorate it so it matches their costume, however they want to do it. And then there are a number of free events, too. The leaf printmaking press, you can make your own unique piece of art, a fall leaf on the printmaking press. So all sorts of fun stuff.
Okay, and what is the interactive tour that you've got listed in the brochure?
Sure. So we have an exhibition that just went up last week. It's portraits and features the work of 24 local Utah artists. So some of our art education team will actually be giving guided tours at 2 and 4 p.m. of the exhibition, which will just kind of, people can have a dialogue about what they see and what a particular piece of art means to them kind of have a fun discussion about the exhibition.
Okay. And then is this different from Body and Soul?
No, Body and Soul is the exhibition.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great.
That's the current exhibition.
And these are 24 artists that have participated who are in the area?
Yeah, and they're Utah artists. There's 24 of them, and it's portraits and across a variety of mediums. There's painting, there's text-based installations, there's sculpture. So it's a really cool exhibit. It just went up Friday and it's up through the month of October. I believe it ends November 4th. So we invite everyone to come out and see it. But if you want to have a discussion about it and really learn something and talk to some art experts, 2 and 4 o'clock on Saturday, October 13th is a good time.
Okay. So next weekend, not this coming weekend.
Yes, next Saturday, not this Saturday. But if you need more information, we have it available on our website, which is KimballArtCenter.org, and also our Facebook page.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Amy?
No, that's about all we have. We'd love for you to come out and visit us.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
That's Amy Roberts. She's the Senior Director of Marketing and Communications with the Kimball Arts Center. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. On the phone from the worksite, I have project manager with Summit County, John Angel. He's out managing the Kilby Road and Ecker Hill Park and Ride. Thanks for taking a few minutes to update us on the project, John.
Yeah, no problem.
So below, I've got, you're assigned to Ecker Hill Park and Ride and the Kilby Road project. We received an update from the city. Can you kind of give us an idea of where things are? There's a flagging schedule for this week to finish paving the bike lane, widening and digging out the concrete crosswalks around the roundabouts. Tell us how that's working.
Well, that worked out. Luckily, yesterday it didn't rain like they were planning, so we got most of the bike asphalt widening done. Tomorrow we'll probably come through and have a little bit of flagging going on while we shoulder that, so there's not a lip where the asphalt is at. And concrete on the crosswalks will get poured today. Probably won't need any flagging for that. In fact, they're going to start here in about 20 minutes. And they just have the traffic detoured around them. So,
okay, what kind of delays are you experiencing out there?
Well, we haven't. Delays have been minimal. We've been able to keep most of the traffic to a block or two, the one lane. And except for rush hour, like when school starts and gets out, it only backs up a few cars. Backs up further, but it's only a minute or two that it takes to get through. And like I say, that's minimal. That's probably about the end of really flagging. We have the detour going through the parking lot, but probably won't have a lot of one-lane traffic besides tomorrow morning.
Okay, and then there's an underpass that is going to take people from the park and ride into the Ecker Hill Middle School campus.
There is an underpass, and that has been quite the project to get that in. There's a lot of concrete to go on that to get the ramps and everything, and we're going to put a canopy over the ramp so that it's protected from the weather. And that has been a long process for us.
And what's the cause of that? Or is that just how it works when you're dealing with underpasses?
It kind of got changed a little later in the design process. So we didn't really get started on that until the end of August. Although we really couldn't have, because we had a lot of utilities that we had to move and relocate so that we could get that in there. So that is a lot of what caused it. And then it's just a slow process. It's hard to work in the tiny area and keep traffic going. I know traffic gets tired of us, but it's hard to work around traffic also.
Yeah, and the detour, that's going to continue until the underpass is finished?
The detour will continue probably at least two more weeks. We've about got the walls done that we need to work from Kilby Road to do. And we're hoping that we can pave Kilby Road right now we have it scheduled for the October 22nd. And then we're hoping that we can stage in the parking lot and only have to cross Kilby and delay traffic minimally while we get from one side, because there's walls on either side of Kilby Road and we may have to pack stuff back and forth. But we're hoping that we can do that. So we're hoping by the end of the month we can open up Kilby and have the detour gone.
Okay, let me go back to the bike lane widening. So is the bike lane on the same surface as the roadway, or is that elevated? Is it off the surface?
No, the bike lane is the same surface as the roadway. The road was designed to kind of as a traffic calming. I think when we were designing the road, it was the big concern was the speeds that we would create by widening Kilby Road and having a straight raceway going through there. So we kind of made a curvilinear road that will go down through there and added some turn lanes. And that kind of presented some points that were kind of close for bikes and cars. So we thought after we got it built that we would try and alleviate some of those pinch points that were created by that.
Okay, and how do you take the bike lane through the roundabouts? Is that something that's accommodated as well?
Bike lanes are not allowed through a roundabout, so the bikes have to merge with traffic and travel through the roundabouts with traffic.
Okay, and
that's just the way that it's set up on all roundabouts.
That's protocol for roundabouts. So
yes.
So then when you pop out of it, will it come back into a widened roadway for bicycles?
We're not doing any work on Kilby from the middle school to Powderwood or eastbound. So as of right now, it won't have a bike lane on it from past the roundabouts. So the bike lane will begin after the middle school, after you've gone through the roundabouts, then the bike lane begins.
Okay, and there is an off-road bike path that could be accessed.
There is an asphalt path that travels the complete distance of Kilby Road, yes.
Okay, and that's multi-use.
that is multi-use, yes.
Okay. What about electrical work? Anything going on with that that's going to impact traffic?
No, the electrical work is 90% of that is in the parking lot. Most of it is we're going to put some car chargers in the parking lot for when it's done and people can come and charge their cars. And they have lights that are going in and security cameras and stuff like that in the parking lot. There is some lighting along the roadway in front of the middle school that there'll be probably some shoulder work that'll go on, but no impact to traffic.
Okay. And what's the estimated time for completing the park and ride?
The parking lot, we're gonna pave all but right next to the underpass a week from Monday. And we're hoping to have bus service to the parking lot and it opened by the first part of December.
Okay, to service the upcoming ski support employees, I guess.
I'm sorry, I did not catch that.
Oh, that's hoping to have that up and running for the ski season.
Yes, exactly.
To support the transferring employees, yep, up to the resort areas. So will the bus service be going into the Kimball, or will it?
Yes, the bus service will. There'll be a bus stop here, and it'll take you to the transit hub at Kimball's Junction. And there you can get on the bus and go into Park City or Canyons area or wherever you need to go from there.
Okay. So parking lot should be paved and by next week from Monday. And then
a week from Monday, yes, almost 100% of the parking lot. There will be a little bit next to the pedestrian tunnel that won't be completed while they finish those concrete walls. But
and what's the timing for the pedestrian tunnel?
Pedestrian tunnel, we're looking at having all the concrete completed by the time we open the parking lot the first part of December. There will be later the structure on top will come in. I don't know exactly when, but we'll probably open it and then have to close it temporary while we put that structure on.
Okay.
Which, yeah, looks like it'll be sometime late winter.
And anything else you want to say about the project out there?
No, I think that pretty much covers us.
Thank you, John Angel. He's the Summit County Project Manager out on the Kilby Road project for the park and ride and the tunnel. Appreciate you calling us this morning. Thanks.
Okay.
My next and final guest is Marianne Boxall. She is the spouse of one of our police officers here in Park City, and there is an event coming up this weekend. I've got Marianne on the line. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So Paint the Town Blue, the event is this weekend. Tell us a little bit about this event and what the purpose is.
Sure. Yeah, this is our fourth year doing Paint the Town Blue. And it's just an event to show our local police officers how much we appreciate them and how thankful we are for them, and to show them that we are really there for them and have their backs in the community. And what it is we're asking the community and the local businesses to go blue on Saturday. So this can be done from your home or from anywhere. So we were hoping that things would be colored blue, there'd be blue ribbons on the houses. And then we also have an event where you can come out and tell a police officer thank you in person at the market on Saturday from 11 to 1:30.
Okay. And blue, can you just basically wear blue that day and be in support of this event, this recognition?
Absolutely. It's as simple as that. Yes.
Okay. Where did this program start? What's the genesis of this?
So it started 4 years ago, and it was a national campaign started by the spouses of police departments across the country just to bring back a little bit of support for the police departments, because it was such a time where they weren't feeling very supported in their communities. So it was a nationwide campaign. And so we had just continued to do it every year. Other places do as well, but it's not an organized on the exact same date that everyone does it anymore.
Yeah, and I was reading a little bit about the Back the Blue program, which I guess maybe sort of generated and comes out of this Paint mm-hmm. the Town Blue. But they talk about an emphasis on anger and hate and trying to bring that conversation into into light and having people aware of some of the preconceived ideas about what the police can do and do in communities.
Yeah, there's a lot of different campaigns out there to try and do that. There's some things called humanizing the badge, which are just showing that police officers are real people. You know, they're real community members as well. They have families. And so there is that out there as well. But this one is just really a positive support from each individual community supporting all of those other ideas.
Well, great. So this will be on Saturday at the market in Park City from 11 to 1:30. And spouses of Park City Police Department officers will be there?
Yes, we will be there, and the police officers will be there. The market has got, we've got a lot of great vendors that have donated some great things, so we'll have a barbecue event going on where you can come and purchase a meal, and that money will go towards the Fraternal Order of Police. And what that does is it does events like Shop with the Cop. It allows them to give back in the community, and also this year it's going to help send a couple of officers over to the Fallen Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
so you can send donations, you can come and donate, you can also come and eat with them, or just come and say thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on and for organizing this event. That's Marianne Boxall with
thanks
the
for all
event.
The support.
Paint the Town Blue this Saturday. Thanks, Marianne.
Thank you.
Hi,